Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Jackson just going to run. Lamar with blockers ahead. Jackson throws it back. That's Justice Hill. Hill, that looks like a forward pass. There's the flag. Stanley coughs it up. Raiders don't have it yet. Now they do, and that should do it.
Ravens fall to the Raiders at home. 0-2 for Baltimore, 0-2 for Cincinnati, 0-2 for the Jaguars, who come here for Monday Night Football. Who's the other Monday Night game? You were looking that up a minute ago.
Washington at Cincinnati. It will be the game that all Bills fans will probably miss.
Yeah.
Is that an okay game to miss?
Sure.
Washington at Cincinnati?
Yeah.
Have those two teams ever played each other before? I'm sure they have. I just don't remember one. The Commanders don't look like the NFL. Anyone else still have that experience? Like, watching them with the logo and the uniforms, I just look at them like, that's an NFL team?
Yeah.
I feel like they're still wearing placeholder uniforms for when their real logo comes in.
Which they said they're going to change the team name again.
Right. But I don't know if they're ever going to do that.
You know, you say, is it the first time Washington's ever played Cincinnati? I had that feeling yesterday watching Saints-Cowboys. Have the Saints ever played the Cowboys before? Feels like it was the first time in NFL history that's happened. I know that's not true, of course.
A Saints-Cowboys game.
So, have a stat for you on a takeaway, and we'll get some more calls in. 803-0550. If you're on hold and you dropped, come back. We'll take your calls. We've got a wide-open segment here. Asking a lot of you what you took away from Week 2, not watching the Bills, you're watching the rest of the league, what did you see? And a very popular response, Joe, is the Bills need a kicker. The number of times that I've received the response, the Bills need a kicker, I thought, all right, I know Tyler Bass is under the microscope here. He missed one against the Dolphins. Okay, they didn't really need that kick, but he missed one. Whenever he misses, that's bad news.
Yep.
We're at a point where we're watching him every minute of every day. So one response says the Bills need a guy who can come in and consistently hit 50-yard field goals. And I thought, come on, who consistently hits 50-yard field goals? So I decided to look into that. And the answer is the league.
Mm-hmm.
The league right now, I think you would say, consistently hits 50-yard field goals because we are 2 weeks into the season. And week one in the NFL saw one of the best kicking performances ever from the league. The league went 21 of 23 from 50. And so far...
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
91% to give... context, that's better than Bass has been from everywhere in a year.
Yeah.
Is the league from 50. And then if you add in last week, it wasn't quite as good. But 34 of 39. The NFL is 34 of 39 from 50+. By the way, Justin Tucker is 0 for 2.
Yes, he is. And he's missed 11 of his last 22. Tucker has kind of lost the long ball.
Yeah.
He's 50% in the last couple years.
Meanwhile, the league is hammering it routinely from 50.
Yeah. Do you know what Tyler Bass's career field goal percentage is from 50+?
Is it 50%?
63%.
63? That's not
And that's never really wavered. Like, he was 4 of 6 last year. He was 4 of 6 in his rookie year. Like, his 50-plus yardage. Like, he doesn't really, I guess, do it a lot, but
yeah.
He's never really been on the mark, I would guess. He's never been, like, one of the best 50-plus kickers. He's got the strength for it. Like, I don't know what's the longest attempt they've ever tried with him? I don't know, but I remember when they drafted him, and, like, you'll see it in practice clips once in a while. Like, he's got a big leg. Like, he could attempt kicks over 60, but does that mean he's accurate on the big kicks? I mean,
yeah,
numbers would tell you not near the best in the league, at least.
It's a spot where if you wanted to go really deep into this and say, could the Bills trade for a kicker at the deadline? let's say the Bears. It's Cairo Santos. He's 3 for 3 from 50 this year. He's not yet missed a kick. He's 5 for 5. It's the deadline. You call the Bears. Like, I'd like your kicker. I mean, the Bills pretty much have to keep Bass on the roster. So now they're carrying, in this scenario, like we're walking down the road of, hey, it's Monday after week 2 and are the Bills going to trade for a kicker? Don't play the Let's Get Stupid music. I feel like we got enough responses. I want to address this as an idea. We'll get some calls in a moment. But they would need to make it fit under the cap, which would not be easy because Bass has to stay. And you'd have to carry 2 kickers.
Right.
And that
can you get out of his contract if you trade him back?
Do I dare go to
Bass's spot track page?
I don't want to go that far. What I was going to get to is your answer is drafting one. But Bass has hit cap. He's on the team. He's on the team. Like the way you'd look at it. I mean, they'll have more cap space next year, but the best plan for the Bills at kicker is to hope Tyler Bass figures it out. Like, that's the best plan. And you might not like that plan, but it seems like it.
He did slip on Thursday.
He did slip
and missed. Missed a 45-yarder.
Confirmed slip?
It looked like it a little bit. I don't know. Like, he didn't fall, but the grass was pretty loose.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did even say. I don't know.
Keith in Attica. Hey, Keith. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing today?
Good.
So, preseason, all the love for the Bears and the Jets. Where's the love today? Collinsworth, I totally thought he'd be slobbering all over himself last night about Caleb Williams and the Bears, and it's just good to see those two teams not be very good. I don't know if you guys saw Steph Diggs having a meltdown on the sideline last night, and then he's like smiling and clapping like, oh yeah, it's no big deal. It's like, there's the Steph Diggs we all know and love, the drama queen. And then the Kansas City game, the very end of the game, you can hear Mahomes screaming that was pass interference, and out comes the flag. It's right on script with the NFL. And last point, these kickers, it's like a guy throwing 95 miles an hour at baseball back in the day. They didn't really exist. You had one or two, and now the freaks are everywhere. Like, every team has 2 or 3 guys like that. It's the same thing with the kickers, kicking 55-plus routinely. It's insane. I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks, Keith. I did not see the Diggs meltdown. I don't see one on Twitter, and I don't think it happened. But I'm ready to see it. Were they just discussing things on the sideline as players tend to do? Have you seen it, Joe?
I haven't seen it.
Did it happen? I'd like to see it.
I try not to live my life just waiting for Diggs sideline camera views, to be fair.
I don't know. I didn't see it. I'd like to see it.
I saw him running a lot of slot rounds again yesterday. That's what I saw. His numbers are going to be down this year.
Yeah.
Like, there's no doubt about that. His numbers are going to be down this year. I don't even know if it means he's, you know, shot. It's just he has a different role. He is, I'll find the numbers on this, but to my eye, he is their Beasley. He is now Cole Beasley. He is, I think he could do more. Don't get me wrong. But the role he plays for that team is reliable, safe targets. I need 5 yards on 3rd and 4. Who's the guy that's running into the open space and is going to catch it for me? Like, I think Houston's role for Diggs, like, they just don't need him to be
the
one-on-one X man beater.
They've got Nico Collins, who's one of the best in the league.
Did you see the catch he had on the sidelines yesterday?
Nico?
Yeah.
He's one of the best receivers in the league.
He's tumbling to the sidelines while he's pinning the ball to his shoulder. Like, Collins is incredible. So Diggs has a different role in Houston. So I think his numbers are going to be down. Like, he's 70 yards through 2 games. He's probably not, I would bet he's not going to get to 1,000. But again, I don't think that means he's shot. I just think he's playing a very different role in Houston than he played here.
Yep. Yeah, I have not seen a word about a meltdown. I watched that game. I saw him get a couple catches. I don't know. But you're right about Collinsworth saying, like, how Caleb Williams' opening drive was 5 for 5. Like, oh, wow, look at this guy. And it did not go well the rest of that game.
Yep.
Shane in Buffalo. Hey, Shane. Hello, Shane. All right, I'll put him back on hold. Shane's not there. He hung up. Gina in Delaware. Hey, Gina.
Gina's here. How you doing, guys?
We're good,
Gina. Thanks for calling.
Hey, I never thought I could be so pumped for a non-Bills Monday morning. But guess what? I am. And here are my 2 takes, Gina's takes, from the weekend. Didn't get to see the Ravens game, so shout out to the LA Raiders. Thank you very much for that win. Secondly, Kansas City. Okay, don't quote me on this time, but this is what's in my head, so this is what we're going to go with. Guess what, Tony Romo? 4th and 13 with 48 seconds left. Who else would I want in that position? I would want Josh Allen. So you need to say his name a few more times, Tony Romo, because Josh Allen, who is I want in that position of 4th and 13 with 48 seconds left. I am so tired of them at nauseam. And yes, I'm going to say this. You know, I'm not a sore loser. I know they were a good team, but y'all are right. They're starting to fail. They're starting to go down. They're starting to, like, unravel. And what is up with the Kelce boys being on television left and right? And Travis, I'm sorry, you look like a cheap porn star. So let's move on to Diggs. I love Diggs. I got no problem with Diggs. You know what? I love Diggs. He's got passion. I've got a little of that. So I understand somebody with passion. He wants to win, guys. He wants to win. Is he a little bit of a drama queen? I'm not. But he might be. But that's okay. That is okay. Because the man wants to win. So, Diggs, you go and do you. Nothing but love for Diggs. And then my last point is this. It's a question, actually. Did you guys see that throw out, that punch last night? I don't understand the rules. How wasn't that guy last night, don't know his name, it was late, punched out that guy, and the announcer says, oh, yeah, well, that's going to be looked at a later date. He should have been ejected. Do you guys know what play I'm talking about?
I did not see this. A Texans player?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Aziz, yeah.
Punched.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you. I appreciate you. You know, I drive my Ram truck while I'm talking to you all. I really shouldn't do this. Y'all have a great day. Enjoy your Bills week. And let's go.
Thanks, Gina. Right, I'm going to look for this Gina. Punch. Yeah, it's a punch right to the face.
And it wasn't called?
No.
Oh, yeah, there it is. That is a right. That is a straight right to the face mask. NFL players, why are we still punching helmets?
Yeah, that's a clean punch to the face.
Yeah.
Like, dirty, but it's very... Yeah.
He'll get fined.
Yep.
He'll get fined for that. I mean, we're not predicting the Chiefs' demise, are we?
I'm not. But one thing I would say is Hollywood Brown being injured and Kelce doing nothing right now. There's a point to be made here that they might have to rely on Xavier Worthy way more than they wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They draft Worthy to be a specific role for them. Kind of like, you know, the Bills did the same for Keon Coleman. Mm-hmm. We're not asking you to be come in and be receiver number one right now. We got other pieces here. You're going to be a part of it. And the Chiefs' pieces, Pacheco out probably for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Hollywood Brown out for the year. Like, they might trade for a receiver. They might wait 3-4 weeks and wait to see who gets, you know, behind the standings and then make a move. They're always, like, in the mix. They traded for Kadarius Toney when they were desperate. They were always linked in with Beckham and Hopkins and never pulled the trigger on those. But Hollywood Brown is, I mean, he's supposed to be a big part of what they do this year. I want to make a comparison. Like, it's like if the Bills lost Curtis Samuel, but we have not yet seen the Bills really incorporate Curtis Samuel into their game. We haven't seen it for the Chiefs and Hollywood Brown because he hasn't been healthy.
All right. Pacheco, by the way, is number 2 on that team in targets and receptions through 2 weeks.
And he's hurt.
So yeah, sir. So it's not just the run game. Like the short pass game has been, it's been Pacheco more than anybody else on the team. Well, Rice, but Rice is, you know, by far their number one right now.
Yeah,
he's got more than second and third combined. But like in terms of their other receivers, like I'm looking at what they've done through a couple of games. Worthy's got 7 targets. Justin Watson has 3. End of list. Like it is Rice, and it's the gadget plays with Worthy. That maybe that really is going to be it. That they are going to have to ask him, like, hey, these gadget packages and this role we had for you, like, we are going to need you to be more of a complete wide receiver because otherwise they're down to hoping Juju Smith-Schuster can have a renaissance or something.
And, of course, what will happen? They'll win the Super Bowl and we'll say, do you really need receivers? Zach in West Seneca. Hey, Zach.
Hey, I called on a kicking issue, but the whole Diggs thing for me, real quick, is like, I'm just over the 6 catches for 30-yard game, man. I mean, with the Josh Allen, I'll always get that from somebody else. I don't need that for $30 million. And to get a second-round pick for a guy that's going to go and do that, I'm good. And that's where I've been all offseason. All the drama on the sideline, I mean, there was no drama in 2020 or 2021. There really wasn't drama until that end of 22 with that Bengals game and then the odd thing that happened in that the following June. But anyways, I called on the kicker. It's just weird. I think the only way they get around this is if they sign a guy, put him to the practice squad, and then Bass sucks enough where they're like, all right, we got to play this other guy. But there's no way they'd let Bass go because of the cap ramifications. You know, obviously they're holding out that, you know, he gets out of this funk. But in the meanwhile, I half wonder if, you know, watching Thursday night's game, if they went for it on that Cook touchdown. Because I think that I thought maybe they went for it because of the, you know, chance of maybe missing it. I know it's a big game and, you know, it was 0-0, but I also think they probably weighed, like, you know, the odds of missing it. So just maybe. Wondering what you guys thought. Could that help them be a little more aggressive moving forward? What do you guys think?
Thanks, Zach. You know, what's a good question for McDermott this week is, you know, you decided in the Arizona game to kick a 4th-and-3, right?
Yes.
And you discussed how 4th-and-2 versus 4th-and-3, that stage of the game, blah, blah, blah. Against Miami, early in the game, they go for a 4th down. Why? Why did you decide to go for the 4th down there?
4th-and-3, by the way.
Yeah.
It was 4th-and-3. Same yardage.
Yep. Very different spot in the game.
Yeah.
Early in the game. I don't know that Bass comes into it there. What I would want to know, and we didn't run these numbers because the Bills beat the Dolphins and kind of blew them out, but what was the win percentage gained or lost by a kick versus going for it? Because I've mentioned a few times, it sounds like a very sometimes complicated point to say with a lot of numbers and math, but it's not. McDermott over the years has been very good at not giving up more than 1 point of win probability with kicks. They go for it when they should, and they kick when they should, or they kick when they don't sacrifice that much in win probability. The one against Arizona was a big deviation from what he normally does. Here's a 4th-and-3 against the Dolphins. I didn't even think to look at those numbers, but I should have. Because if that's another one where, well, they would have been giving up 1.3 in win probability, then they're back on track with what they've done for years. Mm-hmm. And then that one against Arizona really is he stepped in and said, yeah, but I feel like it should be this way. So I don't. That's a good question. And on Bass, they can get out after this year. There's dead cap. And they could just get a new kicker.
Mm-hmm.
So your plan might be, ready for this? Is this the earliest a person has ever predicted that your team is going to spend a draft pick on a kicker? Because I'm going to do it right now. If Tyler Bass doesn't get things right, they'll get out of his contract and they'll draft a kicker. And they'll take a $3 million cap hit. They've got a ton of picks. They'll spend a 4th-round pick on a kicker.
Of kickers that have attempted more than 5 50-plus yard field goals since Bass entered the league, he ranks 27th in field goal percentage, by the way. So he's not good from 50-plus.
Okay, well, here's the other thing. Well, I guess I do want a guy to be good from 50. I don't want him to be too good from 50 because I want to go for it.
I mean, you've got...
Like, but if there's a spot you need a 50-yarder to win a game,
yeah,
I want the best chance he's going to make that kick.
Chris Boswell, 87%. Graham Gano, 79%. Chase McLaughlin, who the Bills drafted, is 25 of 30.
The Bills drafted him? No.
Didn't they?
No.
Well, he was here.
He was?
He was here. He was here for a camp. Wasn't he here the year they drafted Bass, maybe?
Yeah, 2019, undrafted free agent.
Okay. He's 25 of 30.
You know what?
Hold 20 on. Hold percentage on. Points
Hold
better.
Hold on a second. Hold on. I'm right now, someone out there is ceremoniously taking their Wyatt Teller gripe and putting it aside. And now, Chase McLaughlin, he was in the building. How'd you let him go?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm predicting on September 16th the Bills are going to draft a kicker and get out from Tyler Bass, unless he turns it around. But the best plan of action for them this year is for him to turn it around. It is so funny. You know, this is such a good window into how you're feeling about your own team and what you're watching and what you're thinking that you come out of it and say, like, oh, kicker. What'd you see on Sunday? A lot of people responding, kicker. Mm-hmm. You watch guys hit 50-yarders. And if you watch the league, you do. You see a lot of it. Mike in Orchard Park. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Good.
Good. So I wanted to just kind of recap these last 2 weeks. You know, I remember walking out of the opener and everyone was, you know, disappointed that we only beat the Cardinals by 6 points. But kind of recapping, Buffalo was able to keep Marvin Harrison Jr. to one catch for 4 yards, Tyreek Hill for three catches for 24 yards. And the narrative about the Bills' defense was, we lost too much talent, we're not going to be able to recover, you know, we're not going to make the playoffs. And kind of looking where we're at right now, I know it's only week two, but I feel Buffalo is in a good spot. You know, I don't think Joe Brady has really showed his hand these last 2 weeks. So, you know, I'm just kind of looking forward to the season, and I feel we're in a really good spot going in this first stretch before the bye.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike.
I do feel good looking at their schedule right now. Like, I know it's tough coming up, but...
Here's a good way to say it. Mike Catalana, friend of the show at WHM in Rochester and Buffalo Plus, he just pointed out that in the next few games, we had been referring to as a gauntlet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still difficult. They still...
Yeah.
Jacksonville, okay, respectable. And then at Baltimore, at Houston, at the Jets coming up. Like, it's still...
Yeah.
It's not a gauntlet.
Baltimore and Houston especially still is like still at those two places is about as tough as you get.
Tough games.
Yeah.
But you now are starting to possibly...
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Build two things. Well, let me take that back. You might be... starting to see Bills fans adding something to, as long as you have Josh Allen, you have a chance. And that's, as long as you have Josh Allen and a Sean McDermott defense. He doesn't get a lot of credit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he gets a lot of credit. And they fall short. It's always his fault. It's always McDermott. You have a quarterback this good, you should be winning more. But 2 weeks into the season, Bobby Babbitt, Sean McDermott, and they're probably making a lot of people believers. And the next couple weeks, Jacksonville's no slouch. They get in the red zone a bunch of times against Cleveland, and Cleveland holds them off the board. Baltimore, we'll see. They always seem to have Lamar's number. Houston does not look exactly great offensively right now. It's a bit of a slow start for them, and they're 2-0. So we'll see.
Here's what they should get credit for, more than anything for me. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Tyreek Hill this year have combined for 298 yards. 28 of them are against the Bills. They played four games combined. 298. Now, half of them are against the Bills, and it was 28 yards between the two.
They maybe should have thrown it to Marvin Harrison more when he played in the opener.
Maybe, but weren't they probably doing stuff to him that they do to Tyreek Hill?
Yes, they were.
And the Cardinals just, they forced the Cardinals. I think if you go back in time and look at McDermott against top receivers, I bet you find a lot of this. It's they, as much as any team in the league, will say, go ahead, throw it to your running back. Throw it to your tight end in the flat.
Well, their next test.
Take it.
Their next test on this, does Jacksonville really have one? No.
A number one receiver?
Yeah.
No, they've got
Brian Thomas Jr.
Brian Thomas had another nice deep catch yesterday.
Sure, but they don't have like
no,
the
they don't
guy.
Have a stud. They don't have a stud.
The next test is Houston, Nico Collins. That guy's...
Yes.
Legit.
Yes.
The one. I'm also not, my body is not prepared for the takes on Diggs after this game. I'm just not ready for it. I'm going to get myself prepared.
You're not going to survive that week. You're not going to survive that week.
If he breathes,
Yep.
Look at him.
I don't think, by the way, we had two callers mentioned that. I don't think there is a Diggs thing. Like, the drama, there was no drama on the sidelines yesterday. Is the last drama on the sidelines is the Bengal game, no?
Yes.
Which was 2 years ago or a year and a half ago? Year and seven months ago? Year and 8 months ago?
Just ready to move on with our lives. Although that game's going to be juicy. 803-0550. Chris Brown, when we get back, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Bills looking good. The AFC looking, you know, available. If you watch Chiefs and Bengals, give us a call. We'll chat about it. Chris Brown coming up here on WGR.
Chris Brown's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills. And by the Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women.
Drive. They gave up 54 the entire first half last week. Different game. Jamal Williams in the game at bat. Carr pressure, lets it fly. Going deep, Shaheed. Oh! He's got it! Touchdown, New Orleans! A bomb to Shaheed!
No pressure in the pocket. Comes late, but Derek Carr just dropping a dime.
Well, we learned in week two, it's the New Orleans Saints world, and we're all living in it. Chris Brown, play-by-play of the Buffalo Bills, joining us. We do Buffalo Bills Football Monday, and it was a different kind of Monday for us because, you know, we got a victory Monday all the way through the weekend and a chance to watch the rest of the games and see what you think of the AFC. Chris, good morning. Jeremy and Joe. The general vibe today is that whatever you might have thought of the AFC contenders, right about now, the Bills certainly look like one, and the rest of the field, you know, I think we can see some warts out there. I know it's week two, but that seems to be the general consensus around town.
Yeah, and I understand why, but, you know, it is early, and a lot can change between now and then. I think we all have to have some measure of concern about the law of diminishing returns as far as injuries on the defensive side of the ball for Buffalo. I'm not trying to throw a wet blanket on anything. The team's off to a 2-0 start. I think they're performing better than maybe some fans anticipated because of the fear of the unknowns, new players and new roles, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. And it doesn't look like the performance of the defense has changed in any way, shape, or form. So there's certainly reason to be encouraged. I got too much scar tissue from the injuries the last 2 years, guys. So I'm trying to kind of hold my water on getting too excited, if that makes sense.
Sure. Yeah, it could be a Miami thing too, right? Like Baylen Spector having to play and all those other guys. Like they seem to know the scheme. Going back to Thursday on that, Chris, is maybe that the most impressive thing, that it just feels like whoever's in there with this opponent, maybe specifically more than any other, that the Bills just know all the tricks. I saw a good tweet about this, that maybe if you only see Miami once every other year, you know, you might be caught off guard by a lot of what they do, but if you're used to playing it, you might just know what to expect.
Yeah, I think there's some truth to that, but I also think you got to give Sean McDermott a ton of credit here. I mean, you can't tell me there are a dozen other coordinators that are going to school on what Sean McDermott and Bobby Babbage come up with every week, because they've got cheat codes, seemingly, and definitely on the Dolphins, but I think there's other teams you could argue they have cheat codes on. I heard you guys mention it earlier. They've handled Lamar Jackson pretty well over the years in terms of keeping him under wraps, and there are other examples too. And I'll take it a step further, guys. I know there's been a lot of consternation from Bills fans about, oh, you know, every few years, because we have a defensive head coach, we run the risk of losing a good offensive coordinator. I'm just going to say, when the Bills have changed coordinators, there hasn't been a drop-off. Certainly not the likes of what we saw in Philadelphia last year when they lost coordinators, or what Miami's done the last 3 years, changing their defensive coordinator. Run down the list. The Bills don't have a drop-off when they change a major component of their coaching staff, and I think you have to give Sean McDermott credit for that too.
Yeah, the continuity the system, the process, however you want to say it, Chris. Like, so far, the returns, early returns on this season are looking pretty good. We're waiting for official word on Terrell Bernard, Taron Johnson. Of course, we have a little bit of an idea of how long he'll be out just because they did not put him on IR. When it comes to, you know, you mentioned the diminishing returns with all these pieces that are going to go in on the defensive side of the football. The loss of Bernard, if it is a short-term loss, how do you feel they can overcome it, they can get through it? I mean, of course, it's Milano and Bernard. It's a package deal to be missing both guys.
Right. And if you said at the beginning of the season, well, the Bills will be without their two starting linebackers, but come week three, you might have some heart palpitations. But, you know, to the continuity point, Baylen Specter is a player that is, you know, in his third season here. He knows the defense backwards and forwards. I think he's underrated in terms of his instinctiveness. So there's that. And I think you saw examples of that on Thursday night, you know, coming in cold and running a defense. I mean, he didn't just step in for a guy. He's telling the other 10 guys where to get lined up. And I thought for a guy that had to do that on the fly and come off the bench cold, I thought he did a pretty good job. You know, I think a little hesitant at first, but man, by the second half, I don't know about you, I was calling his name an awful lot. So I'm encouraged by that. And, you know, you just, I don't think you want to test the depth much further. I think Bills fans might be excited this week if Joe Andreessen's up, but, you know, he's probably going to be playing on special teams, knowing they're, you know, down another linebacker and Spector's a core special teamer. So Andreessen and or Eddie Ulofosio would probably have to take his spot there. But, you know, and Cam Lewis has been fantastic in Taron Johnson's absence. So, you know, these are guys that have been in the pipeline. But if you go a step beyond that, you know, now you're talking players like potentially Nicholas Morrow, you know, who just got here in the offseason. And, you know, if you have to go a step further at nickel, God forbid, you know, now you're really getting down the depth chart. And that might be a point in time where, you know, you've got to maybe rein it in, reduce the volume of what you're calling, and that can impact performance as we've seen in years past.
If, in fact, you know, the returns on the defensive side are not quite the same, you might need to ask a little more from your offense. They didn't really need much from the passing game against Miami, and we saw Shakir leaned on quite a bit. And after that, it's, you know, backs. The wide receivers didn't combine for too much. Samuel, Hollins, MBS, and Keon Coleman combined for one catch. You know, they didn't need him in that game. For you, is it something you're looking for going forward? Like, there's probably going to be times during the season, postseason, whatever, where this group will be called upon to put up big numbers, whether it's a shootout of a game or it's just because the passing game is something they need because the run game is shut down. It's something I think this Bills team is going to eventually have to prove.
Yes, yes, there is truth to that, absolutely. I think Josh astutely after the game pointed out, you know, we were working on short fields pretty much most of the game.
Yeah.
So I think the numbers on offense were going to be muted just by that fact. And I think, I don't know if offensive coordinators would ever admit this, but I think when you get the ball back and you're in plus territory, there's no need to kind of go for the end zone immediately. And I think maybe even unconsciously, offensive coordinators, when they get the ball in that kind of a plus territory, that kind of a drive start, almost, you know, instinctively just lean on the run game a little bit. And it was working for Buffalo. And so I thought the passing game kind of took a back seat, you know, and Josh's numbers will bear that out as well. But, you know, even the fact that they went 3 for 9 on third down didn't bother me because they didn't have to convert too many third downs to be right on the cusp of the end zone. So I think the short field kind of muted the passing game, and I'm kind of treating some of the other numbers that we often look at, like third down conversions, where the Bills have obviously led the league the last 2 years, as more of a single game circumstance. Now, all that being said, we do have to remember they're playing a team this week that has been their Achilles heel for like the last several years. Yeah. So if it persists into this game, all right, well then maybe we have something to talk about. But I do like the fact that the Bills get a mini bye, extra preparation for a Jaguars team that, by their own description, I don't know if you saw the Trevor Lawrence quote, but his direct quote was, "We suck right now." So they're going to be a motivated bunch coming in here. But I would hope that the mini buy and the extra prep time served the Bills well in finally vanquishing a demon who really should not be one. When you compare the rosters, I mean, they have talent over there, but I think the Bills over the years have been a far better and more consistent football club. So you would hope that that would bear out, you know, with some extra time to prepare for this team.
Yeah, that Lawrence comment about his offense, and he was under duress a lot against the Browns. And honestly, like, to turn back to defense for a moment, Chris, like, the Bills through two games, like, the strength of their defense right now looks like it might be. They have a couple things that look good, but the pass rush so far, like, if Jacksonville is one of these teams, I know Baltimore's another, that are having offensive line problems early on, I don't know. The Bills look like a team that doesn't have to ever blitz and still can get after the quarterback.
Yes, and again, as excited as I am about the defensive line, which I was optimistic about going into the season, I think we do have to remember the level of competition here. Arizona's offensive line, not fantastic. They lose their starting right tackle in that game. So there's that. And then I really don't think much of Miami's offensive line. I think they just believed that, you know, we'll just use the guys that were backups for us last year, we'll just stick them at guard. We'll just get some guy to play center. We don't need Connor Williams back, and, you know, we'll be fine. And we saw how that worked out for them. So I think all of those things have to be weighed in. But yes, I think the defensive front has been very impressive through the first 2 weeks. Vaughn looks like the old Vaughn, which is a huge force multiplier as far as I'm concerned. So that's something I think Bills fans should be excited about. They were wondering through the first 2 weeks. It's looked pretty darn good. And now he's going to be coming off a little extra rest with the mini bye. So those are all things to be pumped about, I think. And you hope that continues this week, you know, against a team that's probably going to try to run the ball with ETN early to maybe take some pressure off that offensive line in passing situations.
Chris Brown on the Western Hotline, wrapping things up for week two. Thanks, Chris. We'll chat later this week and get ready for Monday Night Football from Highmark.
Yeah, should be a good one. Thanks, guys.
All right, Chris Brown. His appearance here is brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Dunn Tire, official tire dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by Lockport Outdoor Store, high-impact gear for hardworking men and women. Monday Night Football tonight, Falcons and Eagles, and a Manning cast. This is the last Manning cast until week five. We will not get a Manning cast for Bills Jags. So Manning cast tonight, which means the Mannings and Bill Belichick in the first half. And I don't know who the guests will be. We'll find out. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Our team really went down there was focused on themselves in terms of, yes, respecting the opponent for sure, really good opponent, yet also really focusing in on the things we could control and improving our game. And that was led by Josh and his leadership, of course. And I thought all three phases really factored into the win and played really just good, sound, physical football. So those are things we can look to build on as we move forward here.
Sean McDermott. That slice of audio brought to you by Picasso's Pizza, your game day tailgating headquarters. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We're going to go around the league in a dash. And that's brought to you by Dash's Market, serving Western New York for 100 years. Shop the family of finer foods. Who has the best case for AFC Defensive Player of the Week over Jamarcus Ingram? Right, Jamarcus Ingram, two picks, pick six. Does someone else have a case for Defensive Player of the Week?
Could they give it to Cam Taylor-Britt just because his interception was so impressive?
It was pretty sweet.
I don't know if he did anything else in the game.
He got smoked by Rishi Rice on.
He did
previously. So
he was the one. Okay, so maybe not
his
him.
His plus minus was an even.
Good thing it's AFC and not NFC, because Aiden Hutchinson getting 4.5 sacks is definitely going to win NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
Okay.
So no, Ingram might, unless I'm forgetting someone, Ingram might have a
how many
a
times
good shot
did they sack Caleb Williams last night, because Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter were all over him.
Yeah, I'll have to look. They were.
Yeah,
yep.
He had a sack and a half. Will Anderson did.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to do it.
Nope.
Chris Jones had a fumble forced. If you saw that play, it took a long time to get the right angle reviewed of the Burrow fumble. All you needed was Burrow walking off with his head down. He knew.
Yeah.
He knew he fumbled. Well, where's the angle?
It ended up being 7 sacks against Caleb Williams last night. A sack and a half for Hunter, sack and a half for Will Anderson, which is good for Ingram because they're going to take votes away from each other.
That's right.
So yeah, I think he might have it.
Is James Cook going to win offensive player of the week? 3 touchdowns? Somebody beating that?
Joe Mixon won it last week with
one. Right.
Nico Collins looked pretty good.
Nico Collins.
Night. Braylon Allen, too, with the Jets.
Yeah. He scored had a couple. And receiving touchdown.
Yeah.
He's the youngest player to ever do that.
Score multiple touchdowns?
I think so. A rushing and a receiving.
Okay.
Or one of the few guys under 20 and under to do it. He's super young, Braylon Allen.
Okay. It won't be Travis Kelce. I just saw this. He had a 114-game streak of catching three or more passes end. The last time he didn't catch three or more passes was at Mahomes' second start. So Kelce is not going to win it.
Kelce, washed.
Wow.
They're saying
it. There's the take of the day.
They're saying it.
Kelce is washed. He's distracted.
Fancy Kirk Cousins is 0-2.
He can't. Well, actually, no, never mind, because of the fancy part. His hair is out of control.
Burrow?
My wife yesterday, we were watching that game, like, is that his real hair? Like, that's his hair? With the, would you call that, is that frosted tips? What would you call
that? Oh,
that's
frosted tips.
That's frosted tips?
Yeah, okay. It's frosted tips all the way.
It's from a bygone era, so.
Yeah. You ever had frosted tips?
No.
I did. I lost a bet.
You did?
I lost a bet. An on-air radio bet.
That you had to do.
Yeah.
What was the bet?
20 years ago. This is like 03, 04, back when the Sabres were doing a captain a month. Brad Ryder. I was doing the show with Brad Ryder.
I forgot about they did that twice. They did that in 08, too, I think.
We bet when they gave Drury the captain, they gave him the C for the month, they won't trade it back. They won't take it off him and give it to somebody else. And if they do, we'll dye our hair blonde.
And they did?
They did.
Who they give it to? Like Dumont or
who
something?
Who knows? Captain of the month.
That's funny. Should we bring the bet back? Let's make one of these bets up here for frosted tips. Let's do that.
All right. I'll take Darlene. You take the field.
That's an insane bet.
Yeah. Hey, Sabres preseason starts Saturday. Welcome back, hockey fans. Jeremy and Joe, we get a full open hour for you, talking about your takeaways from week 2 here on WGR.